Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
He was the crown prince of middle-of-the-road top 40 music, a hit maker in the 80s, who turned into somewhat of a punching bag in the 90s. The old-school Genesis fans, they blamed him for turning the group away from its prog rock. Prog rock, you know what that is?
No, what is
that? I have no idea.
Progressive rock, I guess. Prog rock.
Progressive rock. Mm.
And critics dismissed his 1980 hits by the 90s. He did reinvent himself in the early 2000s, and another generation fell in love with this rhythm that you hear right now. This song on the album Face Value, which was his first solo album as he started to do solo things away from Genesis, In the Air Tonight, probably his biggest song, and then that drum solo that we remember Mike Tyson doing in The Hangover, you know, really put the song over. But we are the Vinyl Boys, and this week we're taking you back to 1985 with a classic record from the great Phil Collins. We have the Vinyl Boys here. We've got DJ Ramo G.
What's up, guys?
So last week you said that Elton John, you were thankful that your Puerto Rican aunts and uncles introduced you to Elton John.
I don't know that that had anything to do with it.
Well, that's what you said on last week's show. I don't know if you listened to it or if
I did. Yeah, I do totally remember. But I wasn't saying that because they were Puerto Rican, they listened to him. I'm just saying we listened to a lot of music, like, as a family. So,
well, it kind of sounded like that's what you was kind of
last week, quote you, you said, I have my Puerto Rican aunt and uncle to thank for my love for Elton John.
Well, no. I'm saying, yeah, my aunts and uncles listened to him. So,
did they listen to Phil Collins?
I listened to Phil Collins. I didn't need their influence.
He was one of those artists that maybe if you were a casual music fan, you maybe didn't really know who he was. But when you hear a song by Phil Collins, you know exactly who he is. We have Memphis on air, who I noticed one thing that made me want to do Phil Collins on the show is because you're always coming in here and mixing vinyl. And I heard you playing a Phil Collins record about a month ago. And I was like, you know what? He's an artist we've overlooked. We need to play him.
Did. Yeah, man. You know, what up? You're welcome. I love you all.
And, of course, the man who has the record from 1985 in his hand is our maestro, the DJ Tom Cat, who is here today, although he looks more like a chipmunk than a cat because you're having mouth issues.
I am. Hey. Yes, I have an infection in my mouth.
Hey.
But I promise I won't breathe on you guys.
Luckily, it does not pass through the airwaves and onto the consumer of this podcast, so you have no worries to catch the infection in our DJ's mouth. So feel free to listen to today's episode. This is called No Jacket Required, and we have Phil Collins himself telling the story as to why he called the album No Jacket Required. Why don't you drop the needle on the record? Let's get into it. We are the Vinyl Boys, and this is the Phil Collins episode. We do have another original press.
Yes.
Like last week, we did the 1973 version of Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. This week, we have an original 1985 copy released February 18th, and it kicks off with the song Susu Studio.
Mm-hmm.
This song is amazing. We used to listen to this around the way growing up.
It was actually released before the album, I believe, in January.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm. This song was.
For whatever reason, I have somewhat of a personal tie to this show because when you're in the radio business, they always have a thing called the hotline.
Yeah.
They'd have the warm line, which was kind of for important things, and then they'd have the hotline.
Yeah.
And then you had your lines for the requests and the fans to call the studio. And whenever I would answer the hotline or the warm line, my thing would always just be to go, Stu Studio. Mm-hmm. You know, like, hey, you've reached the studio.
Right.
I'm sure your PDs love that.
Oh my God. Can I get concert tickets?
I'd have been like, I'm just going to walk over there because this guy.
No, that would have been on the request line, Memphis. Yeah. I'm talking about the hotline.
The line you're like, oh, shit,
it's
what
like
happened?
That red light.
Letting them know that you've reached the Stu Studio. Stu Studio. Hey, you've reached the Stu Studio. Yes, I'm here. What do you need? Warm line.
Gentry knew he was in trouble.
Yeah.
So, he tried to, de-escalate the situation with a joke.
Dog. Nobody in radio wanted to see that warm line go off. He was like, what the hell? Are we still on the air? Like, yo, that's first thing you check. Are we on the air? Okay, we on the air. Yeah. Did I say anything crazy last break? Shit, let me answer. What's up?
I was always the co-host, so it was never my responsibility.
Oh, no, shit, boy.
So do any of you guys know what Stu Studio means?
No, I was wondering. I even looked it up, and I couldn't find it.
Do you know DJ Tomcat?
Well, I was just kind of reading about how he came up with it. And he says he just sat down to record the song and it came out, but I don't know what it means other than that.
So you write songs, Tomcat, and you've even told me this, that sometimes when you're listening to some music, we've heard other artists on the show say that this is their method of writing a song. They just hum or they make noises, you know, studio, like... He just was making up somewhat of a word that seemed to go along with the rhythm as he's writing the song. And it was, and then as he got back to go over it and say, okay, what words am I going to replace Susu Studio with?
He
couldn't find one. And he was like, you know what? It goes so well. It really doesn't mean much of anything. It's just a word he was humming along and zippity-zapping through a song melody to try to come up with a melody first. And it just stuck. I actually have a clip here from Phil. Talking about this, and this is from his audiobook. If you haven't read his book or listened to it, it's from 2016, and it's called Not Dead Yet. This is a clip of him talking about this song, Stu Studio.
I have a notion of what I want to do, break out of this love song box that I found myself in. I'll make a dance album, or at least an album with a couple of up-tempo tracks. I program a drum machine track and improvise some syllables over the top. The rhythmic word, Stu Studio, comes out of nowhere. If I could have a pound for every time I've been asked what that word means, I'd have a lot of pounds. I can't think of a better word that scans as well as the studio.
Have we?
So I keep it and work around it.
So there you have it. He couldn't come up with a better word than Stu Studio, so he just said, you know what? Stu Studio.
So
it really means nothing.
It means nothing. Yeah.
So can you imagine there are people that walk around making excuses or making up meanings for the words to studio, like this is what he really meant, and now you know that it didn't mean anything.
Well, he did make the song into like a story about a boy who has a crush on a girl. So if you listen to like the verses, that's what the song in between the Stu Studio is about.
So if you walk up to a girl and you're like, studio, and she looks at you like, well, like, girl, you know, I got a crush on you. Ain't you heard of the movie?
Yeah, maybe if she's 50.
just a made up word, really. Which is fantastic.
Hey, 50-year-old women need love too, Famo.
I do find that is the most pure way to create, because you're humming along with it or whatever comes in your mind when you're the most relaxed. That's when you come out with something that is just perfect and simple and the right thing.
Sure.
It's not contrived, not forced.
No, I totally feel that.
And who cares what it means? Because I listen to Latin music and I don't know what the hell they're saying. I like
it. Spanish gibberish.
Pepsi.
According to Dave Chappelle, Spanish gibberish.
Spanish gibberish.
So I ended up...
That's the funniest
bit. Ended up listening to almost this entire book. So I know just about everything there is to know about Phil Collins after listening to the book.
Well, you did your research.
I sure did. And I'll tell you a few things about him. He was the third child, the youngest of the family. Had an older brother and an older sister. Born in 1951 in the suburbs of London. And... what changed his life was a Christmas when he was 3 years old. He got the drum set.
Oh, shit.
At three, Christmas, drum set, and he said that he felt like he could communicate with the drums. Like the drums would help him speak. He could speak playing the drums, which I can relate to that. When you're playing the guitar, I played the drums a little bit, the guitar too, and you do feel like you get a little bit of your emotions out on the instrument. Wouldn't you agree, Tomcat?
Absolutely. You can do that DJing too, you know, through the music you're playing and how you're doing it. But yeah, it's expression through your actions instead of your words sometimes.
His father was an insurance salesman. I know that Ramo has been known to sell some insurance.
Yeah, I got a few policies under my name.
If you need a policy, of course, you can contact one of the Vinyl Boys. That would be DJ Ramo G.
Yep, I got you covered.
Cheap plug.
Commercial, personal lines, auto, you know, recreational vehicles. I got you.
So you would relate with Phil Collins' dad, who was an insurance salesman.
Sure. Umbrellas.
His mom worked in a toy shop. She would later become a theatrical agent, booking people for theater gigs, which would ultimately get Phil Collins into show business.
I could sell event insurance as well. I have that.
Excellent.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Phil Collins has been a part of some pretty big events.
Yeah.
Let's hear about it.
Well, which one do you want to know about? I mean, he got his theater chops up playing in a show called Oliver that was playing in London, which I guess was a pretty big deal, and he had a part in it. And so that he said he didn't really feel at home in theater, like he was more rock and roll. He was more wanting to jam, that the theater life, that lifestyle really wasn't for him. But his mother was involved and he was pretty good at it. And they found out he could sing a little bit. He could dance a little bit. He could perform. And he said that practice in the theater is really what led him to being comfortable on stage and being able to perform his songs.
Right.
All
right.
So here's a question that I'll throw at you, since you seem to have, like, really dug deep to Phil Collins. Why is it that, I mean, it's not typical a drummer would become a lead singer. How did that happen?
Yeah, I was going to ask that question.
I'll tell you how it happened. So we're fast forwarding a little bit, because at first he was just a studio musician drummer. Him and a buddy of his, a childhood buddy of his, jammed. They actually went to rival schools, him and this guy, and he ended up going over to his house, knowing they were both good musicians, went to his house and asked if they could start what he was going to call a super group. I'm really good from my school. You're really good from your school. We're from rival schools, but what do you say we start a super group? Because there was a super group at this time called Cream.
Hey,
do your research Cream. On the band Cream. Eric Clapton was in this band. Ginger Baker,
yeah,
who's sometimes
say Ginger Baker,
known as one of the greatest drummers, and Jack Bruce was in this band as well. Shit. One
they
of the
say
great...
that was the first supergroup.
Yeah,
really.
Yep.
So Phil Collins loved Cream. He had a rivalry with a kid from another school, but he was the best at his school, and this other kid was the best at his school. And so he decides to go to him, knocks on his door, and says, "Hey, Ronnie Carroll is his name." They called him the guitar slinging hip cat from the Riviera School.
That's a hell of a nickname.
They make a super group where they find the bass player, and the band is called the Hickory Band. And they jam, and they're pretty good musicians. And
bluegrass?
Playing like pop music. They like to play songs from Cream. They would do a cover band. They like to do Love and Spoonful songs, Jimi Hendrix songs.
Very nice.
Some old jazz songs, and he was the drummer, and his buddy Ronnie was a slayer on the guitar, and they found a decent bass player, and they were a trio, Hickory Band.
Okay.
Then he got into songwriting, where he wanted to write a song.
That's fun.
He finds that D minor is his favorite chord.
Sure.
If you're familiar with the D minor chord, it's probably the saddest chord on the spectrum. And he writes his first song at 17. And he says that he always likes to dwell on matters that are melancholy in his book. And so he writes this sad song, but this song gets a little bit of love, and people think, wow, this guy not only can play the drums, but he can write songs. So then you can start seeing where now he's starting to become, you know, they say the drummer maybe is the guy that's never seen. He's stuck behind the drums.
Right.
But now the drummer's writing these really good songs. So they end up changing the name of their band from Hickory Band to Flaming Youth. which is something I guess Eisenhower said.
That means something totally different now.
So then
flaming
he,
youth.
He gets this opportunity in the late 60s to be involved with this project with a couple of guys that are real well known for writing and producing music. And it was a project about the space age, because it's July of 1969 and we're flying to the moon and everybody's high on psychedelics.
Sweet.
So they have this weird project where he is playing space music. And I guess that particular album, which Phil says didn't really mean too much to him at the time, an Arc 2 album is what it was called, psychedelic. It didn't really resonate with him, but it got a little bit of recognition. People really liked it. And so now he's advancing. Then he gets the opportunity with Genesis. And then Peter Gabriel is the lead singer of Genesis. He ends up, Peter Gabriel leaves.
Like the Peter Gabriel?
Peter Gabriel, in your eyes, Peter
that
Gabriel.
That sledgehammer guy?
Peter Gabriel is the lead singer of the band Genesis.
Wow.
And when he leaves, they realize that, you know, we've had Phil singing background at drums, and he's a pretty damn good singer, and he's probably the most talented now that Peter's gone, so that's how he became. I know it took a long time to get there.
Well, you but got that's, there. That's
how,
all that matters.
That's how he became a lead singer of Genesis. Then wow. When Genesis had success, he goes on to have a solo career. And then, of course, you know, here we are, his third solo album. This is the album that put him into the stratosphere.
This is this a good album, man. He kind of favors, like, just looking at the album cover right now, he reminds me of my homeboy, Brian, who owns a coffee company. Sorry, cheap plug, but Grumpy Goat Coffee. Get you some. But look just like him, like a younger version of him. Too bad he's not from Minnesota.
That's terrible.
That's how they talk, man. I make fun of my boy all the time. They're big dudes.
You should.
You know, them and the Canadians, I mean, God
bless
them.
They're close.
They're very close. They all love Tim Hortons and gravy on their French fries.
Their coffee is not bad.
Nah, it's not.
Tim Hortons.
Yeah, Tim Hortons is actually pretty good. It's pretty solid. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Hats off.
Hey, man.
Weed. They got that and weed right. Canada.
And weed, yeah. Oh, totally. I told you guys when I went to Toronto and over the summer, and I went to the dispensary and I bought a couple pre-rolls, and they were like long as shit. I was like, wow. And nice. I didn't get a chance to smoke them because I had bought edibles and stuff for the wife and I. And so we leaving, and I'm like, I don't think I can bring this across the border. What am I going to do? So I told the wife, I was like, look, I'm about to leave this in the hotel on this desk. And it was a pretty nice place where we were staying at. And I'm like, I'm leaving a note that says, hey, this is a tip for you.
That was the switch of the songs. Yeah, it sounded weird.
Yeah.
But that was going from long way to go to I don't want to know.
Holy shit.
Well, Phil Collins knows a thing or two about getting busted trying to go across the border. I know, Memphis, you're talking about, you know, you ended up what, leaving your edibles behind?
No, I ended up getting edibles in my bag.
Of course
but,
he did.
But the,
fed
but
him
the,
to a street
the pre,
kitty.
The pre-rolls.
The pre-rolls I left, and I was so mad. I'm like, I wanted to smoke them so bad. I was
you
like,
should have smoked before you went to the airport.
Well, I
it's
couldn't.
It's legal in Canada.
Well, we had an early flight, and I didn't want to smell up. I didn't want to smell up the guy's Uber. You know, he was a nice guy.
So you should have got
and he probably
5 minutes
had a ton
early,
of weed in that Uber, too.
Went outside. If it was early was, in the I morning, was, I'm was, sure nobody would have given
I was
a
occupied in the morning.
All right, whatever.
I was occupied.
All right. Keep it moving.
When Phil Collins was traveling in the States and he was a big deal during the time of this record, he was touring through the U.S. I guess they had to go to Canada. And Canadian Customs at the time, at one point, had busted... I think Robert Plant or one of the big rock bands with weed or something. And he said he had one bloody joint in like a book or something. And they found it. And he thought for sure he was going down. And he didn't. They ended up letting him go. And they ended up doing the show in Toronto. But Phil Collins, he also has had a run-in with trying to, you know, take drugs across state lines or across country lines into customs.
Yeah. So that's the kind of problems you don't want to have. Customs and you and drugs and just say no.
That's pretty terrible.
Yeah. You know, but I respect like, hey, you know what? I'm not bringing the Canadian weed across to our border because what if Canadian weed is way better than ours and they know it? I'm smuggling the good shit. We could have smoked the good shit, man.
This episode of Dem Vinyl Boys is being brought to you by BetterHelp. You know, Father Time is undefeated. We're all on borrowed time. What do you plan to do with your time that is important to you? A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. The question is, what would you do with that time if it was unlimited? How would you use it? The best way to squeeze in that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and then make it a priority. If you're thinking of starting therapy, I suggest you give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient. They can do it around your schedule. You want to do it in the morning? You want to do it at night? Whatever time you're ready. Plus, you get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch your therapist at any time for no additional cost. You can do it on the computer with your camera on or with your camera off, whatever makes you feel more comfortable. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vinyl today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vinyl.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Another great story about Phil Collins that I heard him tell in the book. He puts a lot of credit on the Marquee Club as the key to his success. This Marquee Club was in London. He would take the bus. He had to be home at 10:30. His dad made sure he had to be home at 10:30. But I guess the way the night would go is they'd have like the support band would play, which I guess the support band is the opening band. Then you would have the headliner play a short set. Then you'd have the support band or another support band come back on, and then the headliner would do two sets. And he would be first in line at this place, always getting a front row seat, to the point where the venue got to know him so well, he got a job like helping clean up, sweeping the floors at the Marquee. And great bands like Cream went there, so he got to see Eric Clapton up close, Ginger Baker up close, the Yardbirds, which would ultimately turn into Led Zeppelin.
Right.
He got to see them at this same venue. Jimi Hendrix was coming there. I guess this concert was legendary. Late 60s, Jimi Hendrix is coming to the Marquee Club. Well, Jimi decided to be the first artist that said, I want the warm-up band to go ahead and play their two full sets, and then I'm going to do one long-ass set. So he had to make the decision on whether or not he was going to piss off his old man and stay and see Jimi Hendrix, or was he going to catch the bus and make it home by 10:30?
I'm going to take a guess and say he stuck around and seen Hendrix. I would have took the whooping. I'm like, well, I'm going to get in trouble anyway, so I'm going to might as well make it worth it.
That's one thing about Phil Collins. If you look at him, he looks like a square.
He does, don't he?
You know, he looks like he could be a school teacher. He doesn't have the rock and roll look that a lot of these guys have.
He's got receding hairline. His hair's thinning out up there.
He decides to go home. He missed the legendary night with Jimi Hendrix playing because he wanted to be home for his bloody old pop.
Oh, that is some square stuff, Phil.
But by being first in line all the time and being working at the Marquee, the Beatles actually...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, this is a good song, One More Night.
Mm-hmm.
But the Beatles ended up recording a film for Hard Day's Night. The song, remember, A Hard Day's Night?
Mm, yeah.
And they recruited a bunch of the kids from the Marquee Club that would come see the shows. And so he got invited. He was an extra at Hard Day's Night. So there are the Fab Four, the Beatles. He's right there. He said within a stone throw of them, and he's just watching what they do. And he was a Beatlemania. He was all in on the Beatles.
The Beatles.
The Beatles.
And so... the actual film comes out, and he's watching it, and he says, and trying to find himself, and he gets, you know, cut out. He's not even in it. There's no sign of him anywhere in it, which sounded like a big failure to him. Then do you remember that Disney movie Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
I do.
He was an extra in that.
Was he?
Really?
He got cast as an extra. This is another failure story. We've all...
Was
noticed.
It Chitty Chitty or Bang Bang?
It was kind of a Chitty Chitty situation for him.
Apparently.
A shitty one. He gets cast for this. He's going to be with Dick Van Dyke. Big yep. names in this this movie.
What too. A name,
Dick
by the way.
Dick Van Dyke.
Benny Hill was in this as well.
Benny Hill, too?
He was in that?
Yep. So damn. So he's on the set.
That's right.
He's starting to take all this in. His mom had been getting him some acting jobs. He was in some pajama commercials and magazines for kids, like showing off clothes. He's kind of starting to learn the industry. And he gets cast in this Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Well, he gets a big zit on his forehead like the day before, and he decides rather than going around with the big zit on his forehead, he's a teen at this time, he puts a Band-Aid over his zit. And he's there with all these other people, kids, being extras in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, excited to be there. It's a big production. And the director sees the kid with a Band-Aid on his forehead, Phil fucking Collins.
He got a big ass forehead.
And
too.
What does he do? He gets kicked off the set. He tells fucking Phil Collins, as a teenage boy, go home. Take your zit with you.
Motherfuckers were brutal.
We don't need a kid with a Band-Aid on his head.
Like, you ugly motherfucker. Like, get out of here. Hey, you're out. You're
so
done.
So he gets cut out of A Hard Day's Night. He's out there thinking he's going to be seen in the Beatles film A Hard Day's Night.
Nope.
He then gets Chitty Chitty Bang Bang cast as an extra, thinks it's going to be a big break. Someone's going to see him.
Nope.
Big negative. Zit.
Doesn't get to see Jimi Hendrix.
So as I'm listening to his story, I'm like, well, where's the good stuff? You know, where's the Grammy Awards? Where's the hit records? Where's the Live Aid? Oh, by the way, Live Aid was a disaster for Phil Collins.
How was Live Aid a disaster? That fucking place was rocking like everybody. What happened?
Do tell.
So at Live Aid, he's asked to play with Sting.
Fun.
By the way, he has to catch a flight right after Live Aid because Led Zeppelin is having a reunion in Philadelphia, and they want him to play drums. This is when this album, No Jacket Required, is out. He's the hottest thing going.
He is.
Everybody wants him. So he said that he said yes to too many things, that was a problem with him, and so he was always so overworked and overwhelmed that sometimes when it was time to perform, he was running, standing still, I believe is what he said. Always running, but never was really going anywhere because he's just always running. So he's doing this gig with Sting, and right before they go on stage, Sting says to him, well, you know, I like to change up the words a little bit every now and then to the song. We're just going to freestyle it out there. He didn't have time to rehearse because he's so busy. He gets out there on stage. I guess it's a hot day out there, and so his hands are sweaty. He says he misses a few notes on the piano, and people boo him at Live Aid. Then he gets on a plane to go to Philadelphia to play with Led Zeppelin, and they decided it was such a big deal that he had performed in Live Aid and now he's going to play with Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
But they had him on the BBC join from the Concorde airplane, live from the plane on BBC.
I've always wanted to get on that plane. Too bad they don't make them fly them anymore.
So the BBC says, let's go live to the Concorde where Phil Collins just performed Live Aid, and now he's headed to Philadelphia to perform alongside Cher and Led Zeppelin, play drums for Robert Plant and Jimmy Page. And they go to him, and he says that the intercom and the telecommunications system
fucking
is
out.
And so then he becomes the laughing joke that they go live to him, and he's just saying it's what's supposed to be this great day has turned into a shitty day. Plus, his daughter wanted to go.
Flipping the record.
His daughter wanted to go to Live Aid with him. And he had to tell her, you know, there's just too many moving parts. I'm going to be working for 24 straight hours.
Right.
It's a show at Live Aid. It's media. Then it's on a plane and it's going to the United States. So I guess his daughter was pissed at him. And still kind of holds
that. Man can't catch a break.
So you sometimes you look at, you never know what's going on with another man. You always, sometimes people are envious of others.
Yeah.
Look at Phil Collins. He's got a number one album. He's got hit songs like this one right here. And
I love this song.
And he's on fire.
Post, by the way.
And nothing but negativity, it sounds like, going on as you're supposed to be on top of the world. He said he didn't really even have time to enjoy it because it was moving so fast. So he does get to Philadelphia, and he ends up performing with Led Zeppelin, which was his childhood heroes. So imagine that. That's kind of a cool day.
Yeah.
You play with Sting. at Live Aid, then you get on a plane and you fly to Philadelphia, and then you play with Led Zeppelin.
You get on the world's fastest plane at that.
Yeah.
And then go play with Led Zeppelin. What a day.
And during that flight, we did, what's that, what was that one we did just a couple weeks ago? We Are the World.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, We Are the World took the idea from the Band Aid, which Phil Collins was involved with, the group of European artists that raised money for famine relief. And then that was where they got the idea from. So as he was on that flight, he had somebody on that flight talk to him about, hey, we're thinking of doing a song similar to what you guys did to raise money. And so Phil Collins, you know, he had a thing or two to do about We Are the World. If you really do the 6 degrees of separation, man.
Yeah. That's what's up, man. Phil Collins is an interesting cat.
Yeah.
I can dig it.
Divorced 3 times.
Well, that's probably him.
And I guess he had to pay up $42 million to these ex-wives.
Jeez.
Which this, we could play the game of how much do we think he's worth.
I was wondering when we were going to get to that.
Knowing that Phil had to give up $42 million of his fortune mixed between his 3 ex-wives.
The song's a bit stalkery.
No,
how if you listen to the words?
This song?
Yeah.
Billy, don't you lose my number.
Yeah. Oh, watch.
Yeah. All I remember from that song is this little, those 4 or 5 notes right there.
I always like to look up little known facts about whatever artist that we're doing. Here's a couple of them. So, number one was Phil never learned to read and write conventional music notation, so he didn't even know how. Instead, he used that system where he came up with himself, where I guess he would sing it, or he said he would practice drumming by playing along with the television and the radio, which Gentry just started playing along with the metronome, said it was life-changing for him as far as learning the guitar. Also, number three was he produced a few songs on Eric Clapton's album, Behind the Sun. That's
nice.
Cool.
Nice.
Yep.
And he had more top 40 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 during the 80s than any other artist.
Phil Collins was hot.
He was also in the 1991 film Hook. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Yep.
Peter Pan.
Really? He was really in that?
Yeah, yeah.
Who was he?
I don't recall who he was.
Remember, he was on Miami Vice, too.
Yeah, I was about to say, he was a crook.
Was he?
Yeah, he had an episode where they... I guess it was a lot of parts, too. Like, he thought it was just going to be a small cameo or he had a few lines, but they gave him a bunch of time on that particular episode.
It was
episode.
Really good.
Oh, they played a lot of his
really,
music.
Yeah, in you know the song I'm trying to say.
In the
now.
Air Tonight.
Yeah. Because anytime you hear that song done and you know about Miami Vice, it automatically takes you to that spot where they drive across the bridge, what we were just talking about.
7 Mile.
Yeah, the 7 Mile Bridge. In a goddamn Ferrari dressed all nice and shit, fighting crime. Ain't that so Miami?
This song is fun, see, but you're not anywhere that I can't find you. That is
pretty stalker. It is. That's like,
don't lose my number.
That's almost
because you ain't nowhere I can't find you.
Man, that's a low key threat.
He said that song was purely based around improvisation. It's about a man who goes by the name Billy.
Uh-huh, we bet.
And he lost touch with Billy, I guess, and he's trying to find him.
It's
so it's his friend.
Oh, okay.
I have another soundbite here from Phil Collins, the album we're doing today called No Jacket Required. Interesting story of how he got the name of the album. Here it is.
The new album's title, No Jacket Required, is inspired by a couple of incidents. Jill and I are on holiday at Canial Bay on St. John in the American Virgin Islands.
Holiday.
We go to eat at the hotel's open-air restaurant. When I get to the front of the queue, the maitre d' gravely informs Sir that Sir needs a jacket. I haven't got a jacket, mate. I'm on holiday in the Caribbean. There are a couple of vacationers in front of us. And the husband turns around and gives me the raised eyebrow.
Is that him?
Jacket required.
That's him.
I don't forget the phrase.
Doesn't sound like him. Sounds
in the
like
same
him.
Period, on Robert's Principle of Moments tour, we stay at the Ambassador East in Chicago. He's wearing this very loud Czech Williwear suit, and I'm wearing a brand new leather jacket and jeans. We go to have a drink at the hotel bar, and the barman gravely informs Sir that Sir needs a jacket. I am wearing a jacket, a proper jacket, sir, not leather. Percy Plant's dressed like Coco the Clown, but he's all right. I'm in designer leather jacket, very modish, I'll have you know, and I'm lowering the tone. So this idea of jackets required seem to be turning up everywhere. I've always hated stuffiness and snobbery, so No Jacket Required becomes my album title.
Man, if he didn't blow up doing music, he could have easily been one of those animal documentary things. I was waiting for him to be like the lion out in its native habitat.
Yeah, or even like reading kids' books.
Yeah, man,
I can listen to him.
I thought he got some flavor in that. You know what I mean? Like he's totally picturing everything that he's talking about.
It's fun.
Like, I picture when he said the guy turned around and gave him a look like, you motherfucker.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
He does have that great British accent, and that is from his Audible book, which I listened to most of it. Again, a lot of interesting things happened in the life of Phil Collins. And here he is telling a story. He's showing up with this designer-like leather coat, a leather jacket, feeling really good, and then his mate with him has some kind of clown-looking sports jacket on, looks like a clown, and he's the one that has to find a real jacket to wear, and he's like, look at my jacket. Hence now the name of this album, No Jacket Required.
Got it.
He wants to be somewhere where there's no jacket required. Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. I like being comfortable.
Yeah
we're in Florida. No jacket. Too hot.
Who wants to wear a damn jacket?
I wear a tuxedo t-shirt because I want to look formal, but I want to party too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
John C. Reilly.
Yep. And he was talking about Jesus, actually. But I put myself in.
Oh, an Easter joke. Nice.
Well, we are there.
There's another story of failure that I thought was interesting on his book where at one point he's a pretty respected percussionist.
Is
drummer.
It a failure?
He was a little bit of a failure.
Yeah.
Well, this involves Phil Spector. If you've heard of Phil Spector.
Oh, yeah, that motherfucker ain't fled.
Spector?
Yeah, he ended up killing somebody and having to do time at the latter part of his life.
Oh,
I think he died a few years ago, but he produced some Beatles records, also the Righteous Brothers. He had worked with some greats, and he was producing this album. This was George Harrison after the Beatles broke up. He had an album called All Things Must Pass, and they were hiring studio musicians. Well, our boy, Phil Collins, gets a call to play on one of the songs. The song is called Art of Dying on the album with George Harrison, and they're recording it at Abbey Road.
Right.
And he's 19 years old.
Nice.
And he says he gets this call, and he loved getting in the cab and telling the cab, you know, the address to Abbey Road and take me to Abbey Road Studios.
Why didn't they send him a car?
Right, no. They could have done that.
He was a 19-year-old kid.
So?
He was lucky to be in the room. He said when he walked in, there's George Harrison.
Dope.
There's Ringo Starr.
Dope.
There is also Phil Spector, who's known in the industry making big things happen for a bunch of different artists. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There were a handful of other to-do people. He's pulling up at Abbey Road Studios. This is a big thing for a 19-year-old kid.
And he walks in, he's like, what the fuck? Thank I had you. To pay for my own cab, eh? Yeah. What's going on?
Right, like,
if he was Italian in New York.
Send me a cab?
He said at one point they did a group picture and he wasn't really invited to be in the group picture
because
he was just a studio musician. He wasn't. And he was playing the bongo or the congas. He was playing the congas.
He don't look Spanish
in the song.
To me.
I guess really good percussionist.
Yeah.
And good pianist, by the way, as
good
well.
Good pianist.
He took piano lessons later in life.
That's not what I heard.
Mostly known for being
Stop
a great drummer.
It.
It seems like the ladies liked him. He did have a few wives.
Sure.
He was a good pianist.
And paid a lot of money for him to leave,
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. That's why he lost all his damn hair.
We still haven't figured out how much money this motherfucker worth.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
So now he's at Abbey Road Studios. Whoa. He's 19, thinking this is going to be his big break, playing the congas on a record for George Harrison.
Boom.
He gets nervous, and he asks for a fag.
A cigarette.
I'm talking about a cigarette.
Yeah.
Yes.
You just wanted to say the word.
I mean, that's what he says in his book. He called it a fag in his book.
Well, that's what they're called.
Yeah.
That's or they were out there in Europe.
They call them fags in the United States.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did.
No,
that was
did.
For something else.
They called them squares and everything.
Hold on. What
that's
word
something
does
else too.
That
so,
that's what they call cigarettes.
So, let me get back to the story.
Thank you.
Phil is in Abbey Road, and he needs a cigarette. He asked somebody for a fag. He lights one up. He said that back in those days, cigarettes were the thing. He would light one after another to the point where he lit too many, and he said he kind of got lightheaded, and he was just his nerves were killing him around all these legendary people. Smoking all these fags.
That's what happens, man.
And he said that few times run through, he was off a little bit, and he didn't do his best. They ended up cutting him out. They told him to go home. So
God, another dang, failure.
Another failure.
Filling all the time.
He's full of shit, dude.
It is truly remarkable. No. I keep hearing, you know, motivational speakers, and this goes true for everybody out there listening. When you fail, you do have to look at it, and you have to move on.
Build on it. They call it fail forward.
Yeah, yes. You learn a lesson. It's not a loss. It's a lesson.
Yeah, you don't fail and fall.
You got to fail your way all the way to success.
Yep. Look at Phil Collins. I mean, that man took some serious ones that they want to say today. But
I would say everybody has. Everybody that was successful. I haven't met a successful person that hasn't failed a lot.
You got to take a lot of chances.
You have to. If you're afraid to take chances, folks, I'm here to tell you that you will still be where you are, and you'll be in the woulda, coulda, shoulda category. And believe me, you don't want to be in that category. No. So if it's something that you want to do,
keep doing it.
Just do it.
That's how Ramo became the national fellatio champion. Boom. 3 years running.
Boom. Boom. I got my trainer, TK, in the back showing me how to do it. It's awesome.
Guy's lips are all wet all the time.
Yeah.
I have a clip here from Phil Collins talking about his drumming style. You jackasses.
Yeah.
Play loud. I mean, I know this sounds completely sacrilegious to any jazz drummer, and doesn't say the right things to young kids learning to play. You know, just play loud. But that is the secret of my sound. I mean, and that is why I can get up and play a drum kit that I've never seen before. And people will say, wow, it sounds like you. Well, that's because of the way I play, you know, and I do tend to sort of, when I'm playing that particular kind of thing, you know, if I was to play the In the Air Tonight riff, you know, I could play that on any drum kit and it would sound like the record. Because that style, a lot of it is in my technique, if you like, or lack of it.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He's moving around by the mic.
Play him hard.
Boy.
Play loud. I like it.
Play loud. I love it. I love it too.
He's been playing drums since he was 3 years old.
Who hasn't?
Stop it.
I mean, everybody's banging on stuff. And at some point, I would imagine most boys, anyways, like
banging and trying to break shit.
Yeah, you know.
You know how we are.
Playing the drums. I was interested in percussions a lot when I was younger. You know, I moved into other instruments, but definitely, you know, the snare drum was one of the first interests, my musical interests.
Yeah.
You were definitely good at beating with a rhythm, I know.
Yeah. Still am.
That's that metronome.
yeah. I gave him that hint. It to the metronome.
That was Doesn't Anybody Stay Together Anymore. I'm sure you got to understand what that song was about.
Yeah.
This one's Inside Out.
He was probably thinking that pitch. Give me for all my money.
Well, he's divorced three times, so you can tell a lot of his songs are kind of... It's amazing that he's able to keep it as positive. Most of them are about breakups and stuff, but they're positive.
I feel like a lot of his songs were in 80s movies.
You know what I think about Phil Collins? I think he is probably like the coolest cat to be around. Because despite all the shit he's gone through, this cat is like, he's got to be like the most chill cat ever. Like, all this shit. He's got to be mad chill. I'm going to find out one day.
Well, unfortunately, you won't be able to see him, at least at this point, play any more shows because his health has deteriorated.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, one, he's 73 years old. Not that that's like
not too old.
Ancient.
Yeah, not old.
But he's had trouble with his hearing. He's He's having a lot of trouble being able to hear. I guess half of his hearing is gone in one ear.
Mine too.
And almost completely gone in another ear.
Mine too.
He had a spinal injury, some spinal surgery. And so when he has done some of his last concerts, which he, I think last year he did his last concert in 2023, he was doing the concerts sitting in a chair. And he could not, needed help getting out on stage. A friend of mine lives out in Vegas, and he saw one of his last shows and said he still sounded great, played the drums and played the piano, but when he would move from the piano to the drums, he would have to have assistance. So his health has not been very good, unfortunately, for Phil Collins. But what a heck of a life this guy has led. Yeah. He's rubbed shoulders with the Beatles, rubbed shoulders with Led Zeppelin, the respect of Jimmy Page and Robert Plant of Zeppelin, and really came from humble beginnings. His dad, an insurance salesman, and he had to work really hard to get where he was. A lot of auditions.
Got kicked out of Abbey Road.
Kicked out of Abbey Road.
That's awesome.
We don't
dude.
Like your we don't like your conga playing. That You're is, out of here, kid.
That's an awesome story to miss, have, you know?
Miss Jimi Hendrix because he wanted to be a good boy.
That was stupid.
That was really stupid. I would have, like, broke curfew. Man, look, if you can go back in time right now and go see anybody, but knowing if you did, you had to see him like Phil, you had to break curfew, and if you broke curfew, you was going to get a whooping when you got home. Who would you go back to see? And
what do you mean, would?
Or, yeah, who like, wouldn't go back
I? And- I did. Hundreds of times. Bad Boy Bill, Julian Jumping Perez. Usually it was like
Richard Simmons.
A party, like a DJ.
Sweating to the oldies?
No. Nothing like that. My Tom mom did that. Did a lot of that.
If you look at this album cover, speaking of sweating, I don't know if you have the album over there, Tom Cat.
Yeah, he's sweating. I was just looking at it.
They said he like they
I'll
sprayed.
Turn it on. Is it?
They sprayed his forehead with like water to make it look like he was sweating. That the photographer thought it was a good look.
I think that's cool that you knew that because I was wondering like, did he just get all sweaty and was like, keep it, I like it. Yeah. No, they sprayed him. Yeah, I would like to get this on a T-shirt and then have it say "Play Loud."
Yeah. That is dope, TK. Yep. We should. I think we should make that happen.
When you go through three divorces, I'm thinking about a lot of his songs, like you said, he would write in D minor, melancholy. The guy had a lot of heartbreak. So you get three divorces, it's got a sting. Plus 42 million, I'd be writing sad songs too.
So he wrote all his songs in D minor?
No, well, he found that was his favorite chord was D minor because he always felt like expressing himself in music in a melancholy way. Which sure. D minor is the saddest chord on the scale.
Well, I just find that very interesting as we're learning the chords and playing them. I often wonder, should I just skip around? Should I start in this one? What should I start in A minor? Should I start in a B? Like, how do I start a song? And learning that these chords create these emotions,
sure.
And you can pick a chord based on the emotion and then start writing that way. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
because now I can look up which ones do people feel emotions to in certain ways, and then I can pick that key and move to that key to write that type of a song.
Well, typically they say major chords
are happy,
and minor chords are kind of sad,
melancholy.
Yeah.
Here's a clip from Phil Collins saying that he always wanted to be a musician. I know his dad wanted him to be a 9-to-5 insurance salesman, but that wasn't the life. One Phil Collins.
That was really all I wanted to do. I mean, I didn't have, again, we have to remember the era that we're talking about. I mean, pop music was in its early stages, you know. I mean, you had Elvis Presley and Bill Haley, but and Tommy Steele, I suppose, for the English. You know, he was a big pop star, but it wasn't really a profession. I mean, it wasn't a business like it became. So for me, all I wanted to do was to be able to play the drums and then make enough money to live. You know, just have that as my job.
Yeah, at one point he said he would be happy with just being a drummer in the orchestra pit. Like, he knew he had the chops to be able to do it, but when he went to go get that job, talk about another failure. He thought he would get a job in the orchestra pit, and that would be his job, and go on with life playing weeknights at the orchestra. But he didn't know how to, like TK said earlier in the show, he did not know how to read music. So you cannot play in the orchestra pit if you cannot read the music.
It's true.
Yep. Yep.
But I will say it's interesting that, you know, you had said earlier in the podcast that he preferred singing in D minor.
He preferred writing songs in D minor.
D is a very, like, tenor tone. Like, it's kind of in the middle, which would be very comfortable for somebody with a voice like his to sing in, especially the way he does. I used to play the trombone, and that was played in, like, D.
Rusty trombone, so, that is.
Very rusty.
This is a great song right here. And it is. A little serendipity, a little bit. We just did Bone Thugs and Harmony.
I was just about to say, this is the joint.
They sampled that.
This is the song that they did together where Phil Collins actually showed up and did a music video.
Yeah, they had to come to him, though.
Their song was called Home.
Yeah. But they used this hook as part of the hook of the song.
Yeah. This one is Take Me Home. Phil Collins said when he wrote this song, he was inspired by the novel One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and it's kind of about a guy who's trapped in an institution, mental institution, and he wants to get the hell out of there. So it fit perfectly with Bone.
Every time I think of a Phil Collins song or I hear some of these songs like this one, it takes me back to the 80s, which was my childhood, to me was a great time. The 80s was a great time to be a kid, I felt like.
Carefree.
I love it. I like to listen to 80s music sometime in the car. We got a great 80s station here, and then just pretend like it's the 80s. Because you're in your car, so you don't know.
It was a good time, though. It was, man. Just think about when you go out and you're having fun with your friends, and you be gone all day long. You just have to be home by the streetlights, beat the streetlights home. But you be doing all kind of cool shit, going to dances. Man, we had a good
What I love about the 80s and being an 80s kid is that we had just enough technology with Nintendo and Atari. But it wasn't so good that it didn't keep us from going outside and playing.
Hell no.
The Atari was cool for a couple of hours, an hour here, hour there. Nowadays, the kids are so connected and have sensory overload with the video games and the phones and the YouTube. And we were really the last generation to enjoy life without having this device connected to us at all times.
And we really live life. That's probably why most of us that still use our common sense shake our heads at everybody that came after us like, what the fuck happened?
I think the first time stealing device is actually sitting over there in that corner, that Nintendo. Because when Mario came out, that's when I remember my buddies staying inside all day long. And we'd be like, come out and play ball. They'd be like, nope, I'm playing Mario.
What was the other one, too? The little guy?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Zelda.
No, Zelda. Yeah, that was it.
I didn't really like Zelda that much. I didn't really get into Zelda. I love Mario.
Friends would disappear.
Well, my brother did. I was never into really video games.
Nah, you missed out.
I was a little bit older when they came out.
Yeah, that was the first Time Bandit device.
Do you guys remember that they had a Friday the 13th game on Nintendo? Do y'all remember
that? That game was trash.
Yeah, that was trash.
I know my auntie bought it for me and my cousin. We would play it, and Jason would pop up like every 30 minutes or something. We'd be like, holy shit, he's here.
He'd kill you right away, back to the beginning.
You gotta try to fight him.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
It really was a good time in the 80s.
Yeah, it was.
And a lot of people have been posting that Punch-Out meme.
I saw that last night.
Yeah, the 80s were great. And this guy had more hits than anyone in the 80s.
Yeah, he did. This one really was another one.
And he was growing up in London, which at that time, to grow up, I mean, we talk about growing up in the 80s. Think about growing up in the 60s in London.
When you
had the Beatlemania. I heard Ozzy Osbourne, because I was not old enough to really feel the impact of the Beatles, but the way he explained it kind of made sense to me. Ozzy said that when the Beatles came on the scene, everything was black and white before the Beatles. After the Beatles, everything was in color. And it was the transition of the televisions going from black and white and going into color, but it was almost like now there's this ability to become a star by playing music. You know, and really be megastars. There were no real megastars in music until the Beatles. Then you had the Stones, and you had Hendrix, and you had, although that wasn't in London, London was the epicenter for the British invasion of music into the United States.
It's true.
And Phil Collins was a child of that.
So yeah, you're right.
And it was the TV that brought it about, really, because everyone had it in their home now. So you're watching these people rock out on your TV in your home. It's and then true. When they come to your neighborhood, you go crazy because it's that mix of I see this person in my life every day and now they're actually here. Oh, my God, I'm going to freak out.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. This song is on this album, too?
No, this is just the instrumental we're using.
Oh,
too.
I'm like, what the fuck, dog?
I'm just showcasing some of Phil Collins' hits. He's got so many of them.
He does.
I mean, we could go on and on and on about all of his big songs. A very talented musician. A guy that had ups and downs. Also a guy that didn't really look rock and roll. He didn't look like a lead singer of a rock band. He looked more like it could have been a school teacher or the insurance salesman. He would wear a suit and tie a lot of times.
Phil Collins looked like the kind of guy, if you walked in the library back in the day and was getting a book, and you're like, oh, that's Phil Collins over there. I knew he'd be in here. He's that look kind of guy.
So what did you guys think of No Jacket Required? What did you think, Memphis?
I loved it.
Tomcat?
Oh, yeah, I'm a Phil Collins fan. Yeah, I love it.
In the Air Tonight, though, I still think is probably his most popular song. And of course, Ramo, you like Phil Collins, right?
Sure, 100%. Yeah, I think he's great. He really is. A lot of his music, you know, even outside of this album, like you were saying, is just good, fun music. You hear it, and when you're listening to it, it makes you want to sing along with him.
Totally.
And it's good.
Let's see, I got one more song I want to play here. I got a little clip of a live show here.
I spare you guys my singing, so you guys got lucky. I wanted to play myself.
I didn't. I sang. I had to.
Here he is on the drums playing right now. A show back in, I believe, the mid to late 80s. You'll remember this song, too. You remember that song, I Don't Care Anymore?
Yep.
That's a good one, too.
This is him talking about his ex-wife.
Yeah.
And she was sending mad lawyers over to his house with all these demands. And
he don't care anymore. This is another great hit from...
Take that, bitch.
Not on this album, but... Phil Collins, it was great doing No Jacket Required.
It was good.
How do they lose their accent when they sing, though?
I can kind of hear it a little bit with
him. Good question.
I can't.
It's the same with like Jamaicans, too, though.
Yeah, it seems like everybody loses their accent.
Well, I don't know. Jamaicans got a whole language for their music.
Depends on what you're listening to.
But yeah, you're right, Ramo. I don't really hear the accent.
Then you also think of all the hits that he had with Genesis as well. You know, I can't think of exactly what was the biggest Genesis hit. You guys remember?
Golly, it's a few that pop in my head right now. I will have to.
This is Easy Lover, but this was not Genesis.
I Can't Dance, that's a good one.
I Can't Dance, I Can't Sing.
Land of Confusion, that was a good one.
Drive, Easy Lover, drive.
Invisible Touch, that one's killer.
So how much is Phil Collins worth anyway? Let's get that out of the way, because we forgot
What do you think, Ramo? How much do you think Phil's worth?
Right now, I'd say 85 mil.
Okay, Tomcat?
50 mil.
Memphis?
I'm going to go 103 million.
You guys are all pretty way off, because you talk about a body of work.
Right.
We're talking about $350 million.
Wow.
Holy shit, right, man.
Good I'm impressed.
For him. Nice work, Phil.
I'll tell you the main reason why is because when you look at his career, this guy... You could count on one hand how many times he missed a concert or how many times he said no. He was a guy that always said yes to everyone and always was working, which he says his biggest regret is the time he's missed away from his children and ruining marriages and stuff. But it was a sacrifice, and he just, at one point he said he literally worked for 30 straight years and would maybe take a month off here and there. But other than that, for 30, almost 40 years, he did nothing but tour. He did nothing but come out with hit records. He never stopped.
He an artist, man.
That's a great life.
I mean, when you love, when you love what you do, it wasn't work for him. You know, it was right. I'm doing what
he
I love to
himself,
do.
Yeah.
I'm getting paid handsomely for it. Yeah, it kind of sucks at the house, but what they want a nice life, so damn it, they got to sacrifice along with it. And
I mean,
you know,
it is. Let's not be, you know. She knew what this was. Like, she knew he was Phil Collins.
Yeah.
He's been doing it since he was a teenager.
Been playing drums since he was three.
Right.
Like,
so,
you think he gonna slow down just because you hopped on the train? Yeah,
you know.
Your stop's here.
He didn't even wear a jacket to the wedding.
Take this little money, bye.
Chances are she got with him
because he's
Phil
Collins. Yeah.
And not saying that's the reason, but she probably met him because she was seeing him perform or something of that nature. Like, he was definitely extremely popular.
So I look at it this way. So his first marriage was probably with a chick he was probably with for a while when he was still him, but really blew up and she couldn't take it no more. So he's like, all right, cool. That sucks. The second one was the chick that really got with him because he's Phil Collins and she was fucking crazy. He's like, bitch, you got to go take this little money. Bye. The third wife, and he's been three times, right? Okay, so the third wife, he thought he found one good. And he's like, man, you're a pain in the ass. Here, take this little money. Bye. Don't get married no more, Phil.
Well, that is why I thought he would have less money. That's why I went to 50 mil, because I thought the women would have taken most of it. They didn't get it all.
42 million they took, so he'd be close to 400 million.
He would.
Nice work.
He not had the women take his money. But you also think he gets the singer-songwriter money. Because he's the singer and he's the songwriter, and he's also played instruments, a lot of them, piano, played the drums, and he was a session musician where he would play on other people's albums a lot. So a very respected musician, Phil Collins.
Sure.
And
Phil fucking Collins.
Interesting guy. Looks like a square, but he's definitely one of rock and roll's best, one of pop's best, and it was an interesting episode.
Yeah, Phil the Shill.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Dim Vinyl Boys. We're brought to you by BetterHelp and Factor Meals. Until next time, keep the needle in the groove and keep it groovy. We'll see you back next week, God's willing.
Yay.
Peace out.
Yay.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.